SBS acknowledges the traditional custodians of country and their connections and continuous care for the skies, lands and waterways across Australia.
You're listening to Australia Explained, an SBS audio podcast helping you navigate life in Australia.
Australia is home to some of the most diverse and fascinating wildlife in the world. This is a result of Australia's isolation as a continent and the unique evolutionary history that has occurred over millions of years. If you're out traveling or exploring in Australia, you will likely encounter some of our unique wildlife species.
Especially if you find wildlife on the side of the road, it's always important to ensure that you park your car somewhere safe, where it's easily seen and you're in a safe position.
I'm your host, Maram Smail, and together, in this episode, we will explore some of the reasons behind Australia's wildlife's illnesses and injuries. Today, you will learn what to do when encountering injured or sick animals.
The reason that we keep doing it is an overwhelming passion for Australian native animals. And once you've released one of these animals back into its natural habitat, that's the prize.
Depending on where you live in Australia, the species of wildlife you might see will vary based on the landscape, climate, and habitat. In Australia, you can encounter many birds, mammals, amphibians, and reptiles, including venomous and non-venomous snake species. Northern regions usually offer tree kangaroos, crocodiles, and cassowaries. Moving to the drier western regions, you can encounter emus, red kangaroos, and beautiful desert birds. In the southern areas, you can meet some possums, wombats, wallabies, glider species, seals, penguins, and Tasmanian devils further south in Tasmania. So, knowing what to do if you encounter injured or ill wildlife animals is important. Then you would know how to help them best while keeping yourself safe and give the wildlife the best chance for treatment and recovery. Tanya Bishop is a wildlife veterinarian who has worked in research, wildlife species recovery programs and wildlife hospitals responding to wildlife emergencies for the last 24 years. She works for the Wildlife Information, Rescue and Education Service, or WIRES, Australia's largest rescue and wildlife education and research organisation.
While driving in Australia, it's not unusual to see wildlife from the car, especially in rural areas and especially at dawn and dusk when wildlife are on the move more. If you're out camping or exploring national parks, there's a good chance of encountering wildlife.
And if you see wildlife injured or ill, Dr. Bishop recommends seeking specialised help as soon as possible.
This could range from a local veterinarian or local council ranger to a telephone wildlife care helpline, or there are also mobile apps which can put you in contact with a wildlife rescue organisation that will rescue the wildlife and take it to get the care it needs. There are wildlife rescue and care organisations in every state and territory in Australia, so you can search online for the wildlife care helpline appropriate to where you're located.
It's also essential to consider your and others' safety first, and if possible, try to protect the animal with a towel.
Especially if you find wildlife on the side of the road, it's always important to ensure that you park your car somewhere safe, where it's easily seen and you're in a safe position. Remember that injured wildlife will be frightened and they'll try to defend themselves when they are injured. It's important to approach any wildlife as quietly and calmly as possible to reduce causing them any further stress.
Suppose you encounter a dead marsupial, a mammal species that carries their young babies in a pouch, such as kangaroos, wallabies, wombats, and possums. In that case, Dr. Bishop says it's important to check the animal's pouch for a joey, if you can safely do so.
Only remove a joey from the pouch if it obviously has fur. If it has no fur, it will need to be removed from the pouch by a specialised carer, as their mouths are usually sealed to the teat at that stage, and removal could cause serious harm. It's important that a joey is kept in a warm, dark environment and gets to a carer as soon as possible.
There are some commonly available household items that can easily form part of a basic first aid kit for wildlife.
A great wildlife first aid kit would include an old thick towel that doesn't have any loose threads for claws to get tangled in, a cardboard box or pet carrier, and thick gardening gloves. And if possible, a pillow slip for any orphan joeys you may find.
Injured wildlife must be seen by a veterinarian as soon as it's possible to do so. By law, only licensed and trained wildlife carers and veterinarians must care for Australian wildlife, as the needs of these animals are so complex.
They are assessed to see if there's a good chance that with specialised rehabilitation and care that they have a good chance of returning to the wild. Once a veterinarian has treated and stabilised injured wildlife, they return to specialised carers that care for them from anywhere for a few weeks to a year or more for some species.
Morgan Philpott is a wildlife carer with WIAS who has spent over a decade helping to care for injured and sick wildlife, with a special interest in the care and rehabilitation of koalas. He explains what happens once a member of the public calls the Wildlife Rescue Service.
We, as carers, on our phones, we'll get a message notifying us of the rescue. And if we are able to attend, then we will hit the attend button and then we'll get more details sent from head office via our app. And then generally we will make contact with the member of public and get more details and take it from there. These animals, particularly koalas and the more complex animals, really need to get to vets very quickly for assessment.
Decisions about the ongoing treatment of wildlife in care are made in conjunction with veterinarians. There are some differences in the laws for wildlife carers across Australia. Still, wildlife carers generally rehabilitate and care for the animals to prepare it to return to the wild. It means releasing the animal once it's assessed for having the necessary fitness and skill to survive in the wild.
For an animal to be released back into the wild, it has to be able to function normally in the wild. So, for example, for a koala, it has to be able to climb. It has to be able to eat eucalyptus leaf. If it can't do those things, then it cannot be released back into the wild because it's not going to do very well.
And as Dr. Bishop explains, unfortunately, not all wildlife can be released or saved.
Sadly, some animals that are traumatically injured or terminally ill may require euthanasia. However, for those we can help, wildlife rehabilitation work is inspiring and incredibly rewarding in terms of the difference we can make.
This sentiment is echoed by wildlife carer Mr. Philpott, who is passionate about helping Australia's unique native wildlife.
The reason that we keep doing it is an overwhelming passion for Australian native animals. And once you've released one of these animals back into its natural habitat, that's the prize, you know, that's the gift that we get for ourselves at the end. And obviously the animal gets its freedom back. But for me, there's nothing better.
So, if you do encounter injured or ill wildlife, in that case, Dr. Bishop reminds you to keep safe and contact a wildlife rescue service.
Australia is home to some of the most beautiful wildlife, but also some quite dangerous wildlife species. So if you're ever in any doubt of the identification of wildlife you come across or how to safely handle it, it is best to call, give a location and wait for expert help.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Australia Explained, written and produced by Phil Tutsak and hosted by me, Maram Smail. Australia Explained Managing Editor is Rosa Germian.
This was an SBS audio podcast. For more Australia Explained stories, visit sbs.com.au/Australia Explained.